D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingit, and David Janes here with you. We are live at Bridgestone Arena. Predators versus Canucks. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 6:30. Note that later, start time. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 6:30, right here on 102.5 The Game. Before we get into our next topic, Willie, one texter on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, responding to our previous conversation about SEC fans. Willie, fan isn't short for rational.
Right.
Yes, absolutely.
I feel like we're getting further away from rational, though, and not.
I think we are so far removed from rational.
We are clear past rational.
Exactly. Yeah.
We are clear past rational, but the NFL trade deadline is less than 24 hours away. And we are curious how the Tennessee Titans will respond to the NFL trade deadline. By the way, the Titans lost 27-20 to the Chargers yesterday to fall to 1-8 on the season. But I want to start by following up on something we discussed with ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter Teron Davenport in the first hour. If you missed that conversation, you can find it wherever you find your podcast. Just search for D-Mace, Vingit, and Donick. Tavondre Sweat. Tavondre Sweat's name has started appearing in these reports from the various insiders around the NFL. Teron called it very, very possible that Tavondre Sweat could be traded by this time tomorrow. He said for a high day three pick. And
in other words, we're willing to give him away.
Yes. Not the best ROI, return on investment, for Tavondre Sweat. A high second round pick. Last year, you're trading for a high day three pick, God knows when. But, Willie, I thought your line of questioning to Teron was really interesting. It's not unusual for teams, when they make changes to the front office, for the new GMs to want to tear away, tear off any sort of connection to the previous regime. And Tavondre Sweat was a Rand Carthon guy. Jarvis Brownlee was a Rand Carthon guy. But to me, without knowing everything that's going on behind
the
scenes.
Roger McCreary was from the John Robinson.
That is true as well. Not knowing everything going on behind the scenes, Teron would know this. He's around the team every day. Teron has intimated that the current regime of the Titans is not a fan of Tavondre Sweat. But is it worth giving up on a player you just drafted within the top 40 of the draft for a high day three pick just because he may not be a culture fit? Like, it's confusing to me. I know that Tavondre Sweat hasn't been on the field much this year, dealt with a lot of injuries in training camp. I will be honest. Tavondre Sweat exceeded my expectations last season. I had incredibly low expectations for Tavondre Sweat entering last season. I wasn't sure how much he was going to play. I wasn't sure how effective he was going to be when he played. He appeared in, I believe, 16 of 17. Actually, I believe he appeared in every game. I think he started 16 of 17 games, but appeared in every game. Played roughly two-thirds of the defensive snaps. Was effective at stopping the run. So I thought those concerns that we heard about Tavondre Sweat entering his rookie season, you know, his weight or his attitude, I thought those were cleared. But I guess not. But, you know, are the Titans in the business of giving up on young players so quickly for, you know, a really bad return on investment?
It's hard to know what's going on internally with some of these guys. And it's very clear that something is going on. You just wouldn't do this if there were not an issue.
If everything was going great.
Right. So there's clearly an issue. It's very disappointing to hear this, though, because you are spinning your wheels. Mm-hmm. You're taking less. You're giving away pennies on the dollar, and you're so desperate to have players. So I'm sure Teron probably knows more than he is able to say or report, shall we say, or suspects he knows more than he's able to report. Mm-hmm. which is what a professional reporter should do. But the feeling is that I'm getting from the vibe I'm getting for Adam Schefter to be putting this out, or Diana Rossini to be putting this out, it's like they're telegraphing. You want Tavondre Sweat? You can have him. So they're looking to trade Tavondre Sweat, and he's a second-year player. Teams do not look to trade second-year players who were second-round picks, who had encouraging rookie years. It's not like he's been a bust. Now, this year has been...
Had been good for him.
It has been
good. Average. He's been below average.
But there have been three separate physical issues.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Which would explain why he struggled on the surface.
Yeah.
But clearly there's something more than that.
Yeah, because, listen, you can deal with, the things not being there, the stats not being there, or sort of the production, because you look at, he didn't practice much, if at all, during 2 days. Didn't play in the preseason. He gets hurt, has to deal with ankle injury. He had other things that happened, and then he comes back, and the numbers are not quite there. Well, hell, he has the same amount of sacks right now that he had all last season, which was two. So I guess he is doing better from that standpoint. But right now he's just playing average, really average to below average football. And some of it can be contributed to the injury and him not having the time that he needed on the field to make sure his condition would stay up. A part of it is that. And, obviously a part of it could be what Teron is sort of alluding to. That, and I've seen it before, so I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that a player, no matter how – unless he's just a guy that you can't live without, like his talent completely, overcomes his headache, then I can see how something like this that TD is alluding. I can see how that happened, because I've seen it happen in locker rooms where you're like, man, that dude he's a good player. But then for whatever reason, he may have missed meetings. He may don't show up on things on time during when we're in the building. He's just more of a headache than anything. And then all of a sudden, that guy's gone. He's been traded. And you're like, man, he was a good player. But he didn't fit what they wanted for a locker room and organization. So they's like, it's better off to just trade you now than to allow this to fester. Same way with Brownlee. I didn't agree with the Brownlee, but I don't know what they know. I didn't agree with the Brownlee. I didn't agree with the McQuarrie, even though I said McQuarrie would get traded at the beginning of the season. I said he would get traded.
It's the kind of thing, though, that can make you look bad.
Yeah.
If the guy down the road, and it's early, Brownlee looks like right now the Jets are like, hey,
well,
we got a good player. A nice trade here. I could see that happening with Sweat.
Uh-huh.
So you have to it's hard to do. I guess it's easier to do when you didn't draft the guy.
Yes.
But I'm concerned about this. Like, is he worth giving up on at this point? Is it that bad that you would just shop him around and say he's only in his second year, but let's just dump him for a fourth-round pick when he was a second-round pick?
We've got a couple of Adams on our phone line. Let's go to Adam, not from Portland, first on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hunter.com. Adam, thank you for calling. Great name. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. So
I totally agree with what y'all are saying with the Sweat situation about not giving up on a younger player, especially one that, so early on looked promising. And honestly, I don't think that's what they're doing. I mean, I think that could be a smokescreen to actually trading Big Jeff. And this is why I think that. I want you guys to tell me why in the world, after all this time, would Big Jeff not walk in that front office and say, get me away from this dumpster fire. It's crazy what y'all got going on around here. Year in and year out, you can't hire a coach. You can't hire a GM. And he is a one-of-one player who, after this amount of time, how could he not want out of here? That's kind of the angle I'm looking at it, And Jerry Jones, being that the Cowboys have been linked to that conversation several times, he is the exact owner that will overpay to bring in a big name. So essentially it works for both sides.
Yeah,
thank you, Adam.
Thank you for the call, Alan. Adam, excuse me.
Yes.
One, let me address quickly Jeffrey Simmons and why he will not demand all these things. Jeff, that's not what he's going to do. He's just not going to. He may, you know, relate to his agent, hey, man, I'm not happy. You know, I don't see this team going anywhere. You know, maybe it's time for me to get out of here. What do you think? You know, possibly facilitate it. There's a reason why the Titans came out and vehemently said Jeffrey Simmons is not on the trading blocks, because they didn't want anything like this to happen where his agent, you know, or somebody puts out there that Jeffrey Simmons is on the trading blocks. Jeff, I think, would love to stay here in Nashville. I do believe that. I think he would. Does he want to play for a winning team? Absolutely. But I think if he had his choice, he would play here, and that this team would, you know, fast track, you know, whatever they're going to, so they can be successful within the next 2 or 3 years before they move into that stadium, next 2 years before they move into that stadium. I'm sure he has enough, you know, sway in the building to, okay, what are you guys thinking? Like, that's like Myles Garrett, the same thing. I'm not saying that he's Myles Garrett, but hell, he is Myles Garrett for your team. So when he walks into the office, like Myles Garrett said, I don't want to be, but what are y'all going to do? Like, how are y'all going to fix this team? Now, Myles got his money, and he's fine. Maybe Jeff gets his money and he's fine. I don't know. But he wants to win. So I wouldn't say that – I don't think he would go up to the office and say, trade me. But I think he would go up to the office and say, hey, listen, I want to be here. What are we doing?
May I read to you guys the most Jerry Jones headline I think I've ever read from around the NFL on NFL.com? Jerry Jones hints Cowboys have made trade ahead of Tuesday's deadline, declines to give details. He did an interview with Stephen A. Smith on Sirius XM.
It could be Jeffrey.
Where he hinted he made a trade, but said, I'm going to wait and let you read about that when we send the papers in tomorrow. So maybe it is Jeffrey Simmons. Who knows?
Mike Borgonzi has a meeting
tomorrow. Has a news conference tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow.
So, Adam, keep your fingers crossed, I guess. Although there have been multiple reports that it's doubtful that Jeffrey Simmons is traded, although we all agree on – well, I know Willie – where are you on it, Derek? Willie and I are very much on team trade Simmons. Are you on team trade Simmons, too?
I know why y'all want to trade him. But I can't do it. I'm on team. Keep Jeffrey Simmons. Mm-hmm. Let him go into that new building. Let him retire a Titan. Just let one guy do it, okay? Just let one guy start and finish his career here.
Okay.
And I'm talking about a prime guy. I'm not talking about a guy to get drafted. And he's a special – even though special teams is great, all that stuff is
great. We're not talking Mason Kinsey here.
Yeah,
we're talking Jeffrey Simmons.
Let him retire here.
Yes. Let's go to Adam from Portland on our phone line. All the Adams driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Adam, go ahead.
What up, Adam, man? Hey, yeah, I'm also on get rid of Simmons, but not why I called you. So I look at the Tavondre Sweat situation, and it makes me want to puke because you think how Amy's an idiot. Like, if you could watch Carly Ursay, and I say that with respect, like, not as a lady, like, as an owner of my team that I invest in, she's an idiot. Like, she's not her dad. Carly Ursay's crushing it. She cares. Amy's nowhere to be found. She hires some dude that she just likes to have fall guys all around him. Nobody takes ownership for this. We're not going to know what's going on with Tavondre Sweat. Like, the same way we don't know what went on with Brownlee. Like, this is just watching our franchise just crumble apart like this. It's a joke, dude. We're a joke now, and it's all her fault. So I think we have the dumbest owner ever. She hired the dumbest coach ever. And Chad Brinker's it may be as bad as all of them. And that's where I'm at with my team.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how is the play? Thank you for calling, Adam.
And this is what – see, this is what happens in sports. Something that sort of the new it thing, and now everybody needs to be like that person. Ursay just didn't start doing this. She's been doing this for some years now, so it's just not, oh, all of a sudden now she's doing it, the team's good. This team has been building for the last couple of years. I don't know why, but Indianapolis has always been the team that has never really truly, except that 1 year with Luck, never really truly like just bottomed out.
But that was because Peyton Manning was
injured,
right?
Absolutely. And Peyton Manning was hurt. They couldn't play him. So it was suck for Luck. That's basically what it was, and they got him. But it's not like she got on the sidelines and all of a sudden this horrible team became bad, became good. This team had players. They were building up. They needed a quarterback. They thought they drafted a quarterback. It's not working out. So what do? They go out and they sign a journeyman, a young journeyman that showed that, okay, he has some game, and he's playing well right now. He's playing really well. That doesn't mean that it's because of Ursay that he's playing well or that this team is doing well. It's because they've built this team up for the last three. Look at their start. We talked about this before they play Indianapolis.
Right.
Their key players are all what?
Drafted.
Draft picks. All of them. And they're young. Yep. And they're signing them to second contract. That's why this team is good. And a lot of that had to do with all of them. Her father, her, the sister, whoever was involved. It wasn't just her. So Amy's not that person. She's not going to sit on the sideline with a headset, okay? Forget it, Titan fans. She's not. But she's made some bad decisions during the season that I'm not blaming her, and I'm not saying she shouldn't have fired John Robinson or anything, but maybe firing him in the middle of the season was the bad thing to do. I don't know. Or because nothing good came out of it, or firing, you know, Mike Vrabel. Was it probably the best thing to do? I don't know, but nothing good came after Mike Vrabel. You know, they've been losing. So Amy's not going to be the owner that everybody wants her to be. Let's realize that right now. But what I know she has done is, I know where this franchise was, and I'm not talking about winning and losing. I know where this franchise was. I know where that building was as far as things for players, former players, all that other stuff. It is much better now, much better. They need to start winning on the field. That's what they need to start doing. And she hasn't made herself look the best with some of these moves that she's made. But I don't want her to be an Ursay and sit down, because that's not what she wants to do.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the NFL trade deadline, which is less than 24 hours away. 615-737-1025. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick has left us to prepare for the broadcast tonight on FanDuel Sports Network. Canucks at Predators. Puck drop at 7:30. Pregame at 6:30. Right here on 102.5 The Game. We are discussing the upcoming NFL trade deadline, which is tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It has been brought to my attention that Titans GM Mike Borgonzi will address reporters at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. So we'll see what Mike Borgonzi has to say. I'm sure Next Man Up will carry that news conference live tomorrow if they can. I know the rules with the live streaming and all that stuff is, I don't know, whatever. It's not my problem. Let's talk NFL trade deadline here. Mm-hmm. Another name, Derek, who has emerged in reports is Calvin Ridley. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk reported on Sunday that the Titans are trying to trade Calvin Ridley. He notes Ridley, who last played in Week 6 due to a hamstring injury, is under contract through 2027. His four-year, $92 million free agent contract predated the arrival of GM Mike Borgonzi. A trade would trigger a cap charge of $11.02 million in 2026. He's due to make $20.24 million next year and $20.74 million in 2027. Now, Teron Davenport, who we had earlier on the program, refuted that report, saying the Titans are, quote, not shopping Calvin Ridley, as some reports are saying, confirmed with multiple team sources. That is not the case. They have, however, received calls about Ridley and other players. This is the semantics of the NFL trade deadline, the NHL trade deadline, the NBA trade deadline. Well, the Titans aren't shopping Calvin Ridley, but they're not telling teams not to call necessarily about Calvin Ridley. We talked about this last week, Derek, as we were playing Titans trade deadline matchmaker. Florio reports the Titans are trying to trade Calvin Ridley. Teron Davenport says the Titans are not shopping Calvin Ridley. They, however, have received calls about Ridley. What would you do with Calvin Ridley?
I know why they want the reports, and I'm not saying that the reports are false. But there's a reason why they don't want out there that they are the ones doing the shopping. Because if I'm shopping, if I'm the buyer, I ain't offering you much. Because you shopping to me. You coming to me and telling me, do you want this? Well, how much you willing to give it to me for? Nah, that's too high. Come on down. You the one that want to get a player away to me. It ain't the other way around. I didn't make the call. So I understand if I'm the Titans why I wouldn't want that out there. I do believe teams are calling them too because they understand where they are, meaning the Titans. But if I was Borgonzi, yeah, I would be looking to trade Calvin Ridley. He hasn't performed up to the level consistently that you want your number one guy to perform at. He's been injured. He's had more of the drops than anything. And there's just been too many times where he has disappeared. And you need him to be one on the field, to be engaged, to make those plays. Why? Because you got a young quarterback. And he just hasn't been the last year and a half what the Titans thought they were getting, I believe. I think he's a number two. I think he's a really good number two. But the Titans are asking him to be a number one. Trade him away to somebody that's going to make him a number two, and I guarantee you he will flourish. So he's not a bad player, but he's just he's not the right player for this team. And if you can trade him away and get something, then that's what you do. But I wouldn't give him away. I wouldn't, oh, give me a sixth-round pick. No, you got to give me a fourth round. I'm trying to get a fourth round or better. I know more than likely it's going to be a fourth round or, you know, a trade that can move up or you can get a fourth round if certain things are met. But, yeah, I'm looking to trade him if I'm the Titans.
Diana Russini reported over the weekend, quote, the players the Titans are fielding the most calls on, defensive end Arden Key, no shock there, linebacker Draymond Jones, who's on a bit of a heater right now, mm-hmm. Tavondre Sweat, and Tony Pollard. That one's interesting as well. We did play matchmaker with Tony Pollard last week as well. We know how important a steady running back is to a young quarterback. And Tajay Spears has flashed in recent weeks since coming back from injury. But Tony Pollard is as steady as they come. Mm-hmm. He's not going to wow you, but he's pretty reliable, except, you know, at the goal line yesterday when he gets stuffed on third and one and fourth and one.
Hey, if you can't get no movement, I don't care if you better be Derrick Henry trying to get in his zone, the offensive line, and get no movement.
But what about Pollard? Do you think the Titans should be looking to ship out Pollard as well?
Yeah, I think so, too. And I'm saying that more so for Pollard. Pollard has more days of retirement ahead of him than he does, you know, of great play. And that's just the nature of the beast. You know, he's been in the league for some years. I think it's, 6 years now? He's taken a toll on, you know, he's taking his wear and tear, his share of shots. But he's a solid back. And he's not going to tilt the scale for this team. So if you can get, you know, a pick for him, then that's what you do. Because what I saw yesterday, I saw a guy that still runs the ball hard regardless. He had 10 carries, averaged 5 yards per carry. But he's just a load to bring down a lot of times because he's like a battering ram. It's hard to tackle him. That is useful to a team. You look at the team they just played. That's useful for a team like the Chargers that loves to run the football. Denver, I don't know what Denver's, you know, situation with their backs is, but say Denver, another team. You can go down the list of teams that are, you know, in the running for a playoff spot in the AFC that can use a Tony Pollard type of running back. If I'm the Titans, he would be another guy that if teams are calling, okay, what are you willing to offer me for Tony Pollard? Because he's still a good player in this league.
David on our text line says, I just don't understand why we keep talking about trading players for picks. We could have 5 first-round picks and not draft a single quality first-round player. We show no history of being able to draft. Why do we think this year is going to be any different simply because we have more picks? David, I understand you are not alone in thinking that. The Titans' draft record in recent years has been spotty at best. We've mentioned Chigakonkwo. Chigakonkwo could be traded by this time tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, the Titans will have zero players from their 2020, 2021, and 2022 draft classes. Zero.
Wow.
And that's not good. But the only way you are going to get better as a team is by drafting your way there. The Athletic had a story today, Derek, looking back at the 18 trades that were made ahead of the deadline last year. And most of them didn't make much of an impact. Quite frankly, the most impactful trade at the deadline last year or in the lead-up to the deadline may have been the Titans trading Ernest Jones to the Seahawks, because Ernest Jones continues to be an important player on defense for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. It's different in the NFL. Anecdotally, it feels different in the NFL than it does in other sports. The NHL, for example. You see impact players getting traded at the deadline in the NHL. And it doesn't always work. But I feel like the NFL, it's not the same. And I don't know if it's just because of the way the contracts work or if it's harder for one player on a football team to make as much of an impact as one player on a hockey team. But usually, trading your way to the top doesn't work. So I understand the texter's point. Mm-hmm. Why are we trading all of these players for picks? I don't trust the people making the picks to make good picks. Well, the only way the Titans are going to get back to respectable is by drafting their way there. And it hasn't been working out lately, but just because it hasn't been working out doesn't mean you can't try.
Well, I mean, if that is the case, then the Titans should just take their franchise, liquidate it, and just leave the NFL. Because Amy's not selling a team, and Amy's hiring the GM, and the GM is hiring the head coach, and the head coach is hiring his team, and they're going out and they're scouting. So if you're saying they're just not going to get it right, they'll never get it right based upon that premise. You know, the only way that, you know, in this league, you look at all the teams that have been successful, that have consistent, you know, winning seasons, or consistently or, you know, constantly in the playoffs, or, you know, fighting for, contending for an AFC championship or a Super Bowl. Those are the teams that, one, they have their quarterback, but then, two, that they draft well. And they develop their players. That's the only way to have sustained success.
You just mentioned the Colts in the previous segment. We talked about this before the Titans played the Colts a couple of weeks ago. Think about all of the players that have been burning the Titans this season. Let's just look on offense. Mm-hmm. All of those receivers, Jonathan Taylor, all drafted.
Offensive line.
Yes.
All drafted.
The offensive line, all drafted by the Indianapolis Colts. That's how you get to where the top teams in the NFL are.
And you can't cheat the process. So it's not, I think, in fans' minds, and we've talked about this, and we've said this before, not just me, we've all said it, that we know that from what we're hearing, it's not necessarily the players. To them, it's y'all don't know how to, it's y'all. Meaning not the fans, meaning management. Mm-hmm. I get it, but if that's the case, nothing's ever going to change. So my thing is, the only way in this league that you're going to have continued success is if you draft. And the draft is not 100%. You're not going to hit every time. But you need to have guys on your roster that you can develop and retain. Everybody that you draft and develop, you're not going to keep them. That's just the way of that's the nature of free agency. You know, a guy at receiver, he may get to his last year and figure, you know what, I don't want to sign. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to sign me. You don't put him on a franchise tag. Then he has to go to another team. That happens in this league. And even when you franchise tag him, that may be only for that season. He end up going somewhere else. They got to make sure not only are they drafting and developed, that they keep these guys on their roster. And that's been the hardest part for the Titans, is keeping guys that have the opportunity or potential to develop. Look at A.J. Brown. They got rid of him. He was a developing player. Who else? the receiver, Corey Davis. He was a guy that had developed into a damn good number two. But you let him walk out the building. You didn't sign him. You chose to sign a veteran guy. It didn't work out. Stuff like that, you've had players. You just got to keep them. So it's not about, oh, they don't know how to develop the players. And it's just they have a problem with keeping them. When they have developed or they're showing that they are being developed, they have a hard time, for whatever reason, keeping these guys.
As Marla Daniels once said on The Wire, the game is rigged, but you cannot lose if you do not play. Yeah. And that's what I think some Titans fans are thinking when you talk about, well, why trade these players for picks? Because the Titans aren't going to be able to do it anyway. They're not going to be able to draft well anyway. And the record is what it is lately. It has not been good. But I guess if you're looking for some optimism, look at Chim Dike out there. Chim Dike is looking like a player. Leads the NFL in all-purpose yards. Had the first Titans punt return touchdown in nearly 13 years. He's making more of an impact in the receiving game. So, hey, perhaps all hope is not lost, Titans fans, when it comes to drafting. 615-737-1025. We will continue to take your thoughts on the NFL trade deadline. It is tomorrow. I believe by the time we're on the air tomorrow, the deadline will have passed, or it will be right when we get on the air. So we will have plenty to react to when it comes to that. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we wrap up the show. The Nashville Predators made it onto Saturday Night Live over the weekend. That was fun. We'll talk about that. We'll laugh about that. 615-737-1025. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
The NHL is proud of the charity work we do in our communities.
That's right. I may be a king on the ice, but I'm also a king in the community.
And I'm a Ranger in my community.
And I'm a Predator in my community. When you see this face, just know Predator's in the community.
Wait, can we cut?
Cut? What's the issue, man?
Do I have to say that I'm a Predator in my community?
Why not? You play for the Nashville Predators.
But you hear how it sounds, right?
Okay, so it's going to be one of those shoots. Diva alert!
That was Miles Teller on Saturday Night Live. By the way, the name of the fictitious Predators player he was.
What was his name?
Chase Kidd.
Chase Kidd?
Chase Kidd.
Chase Kidd.
And he plays right wing.
He plays right wing for the Nashville Predators. He is a Predator in the community. And it reminded me of this summer when some random TikTok content creator saw that the Predators wear Preds in the community shirts when they do work around Nashville. And it's like, does anybody not notice how weird this sounds? And I told them at the time to touch grass. So I suppose I also have to tell the SNL writing staff to touch grass.
That's low-hanging fruit, though. And I wouldn't even think to – I wouldn't make light of that. You know, that just to me – I'm glad Nashville, the team, was represented on SNL. But that's low-hanging fruit. That's not even taste – it's really not tasteful to do that, honestly. I get it, but they could have found something else for the Nashville Predators. You know, if you want to do a skit with the Predators, you could have found something else to do.
That's probably true, but I did chuckle when I saw it. And to the Predators' credit, they poked fun at themselves, too, on social media. The Predators are back in action at 7:30 against the Vancouver Canucks. Pregame starting at 6:30 with Max Herz at this very desk at Barrel House. And, of course, right here on 102.5 The Game. The Predators coming off of a win on Saturday against the Calgary Flames. The Predators actually scored more than two goals. So congratulations to the Predators. They won 4-2 against the Flames on Saturday. The Predators scored three times in the first period. The Flames made it 3-2 in the third period, but Philip Forsberg with an empty net goal to make it 4-2. So the Predators will try to make it two in a row tonight against the Canucks before they head out on the road right after the game. The Predators will be in Minnesota tomorrow to take on John Hines in the Wild in St. Paul, Minnesota. But let's get back to your reaction on the NFL trade deadline, 615-737-1025. Keith on our text line, reacting to our previous conversation. Mm-hmm. The staff that made those previous picks are no longer here, so you can't say they'll never get it right, and Borgonzi's picks look good. I mentioned Chim Dike. It's a promising start for Chim Dike. I was glad to see him score on a punt return, so I never have to remember the name Darius Raynaud again, because it had been nearly 13 years. It was December of 2012 when Darius Raynaud, if I'm not mistaken, returned two punts for a touchdown in the same game, I believe against the Jags. But now I never have to worry about that because Chim Dike did it yesterday. So I understand where certain Titans fans are coming from, how poorly the team is drafted as of late, but you can't get to where you want to go unless you draft well. Ron on our text line says, why are we trading young players that have the potential to be better and could be a building block for this team? Two, why would we try to change Cam Ward's throwing motion? We definitely don't need a Tebow situation here. We saw what it did to Tebow. Now, I can't recall what happened with Tim Tebow and his throwing mechanics.
He had a horrible throwing. His mechanics were horrible.
Well, Mike McCoy would know a thing or two about that because Mike McCoy was on
the
Broncos coaching
staff. But they did have a successful season.
They made the playoffs.
Well, Mike McCoy was on that staff.
He was the offensive coordinator for Tim Tebow.
Absolutely.
During Tebow Mania.
Absolutely.
And they won that playoff game against Pittsburgh?
Against Pittsburgh.
Correct? Yes.
Demaryius Thomas had the slant to win the game, the touchdown to win the game in overtime, I believe.
Yes. But to the texter's point, why are they trading young players who could be building blocks for this organization? Mentioning DeVondre Sweat.
That's what people are trying to figure out. It obviously is not about necessarily the play. Because Brownlee was a starter. Did he have his, warts? Yeah, he held a lot.
Took a lot of penalties.
And that's just something that you hope that he would get better at. And this, again, it was only a second year. He's going into his second year. So, but, yeah, he has talent, but he didn't fit. At least from what it seems like, he didn't fit the locker room. So they moved him. McQuarrie was a guy that they didn't see had a future with this team, and his contract was up, so they chose to get something for him because they didn't think they were going to sign him back to another contract. So if that's the case, then yeah, you might as well get rid of him and try to get something for him. But that doesn't explain, like, you got young talent, they're good players. Are they great players? No. Do they still have their warts? Yes. But for a team that don't have young players, many good young players, you trade away players that show they can be a key part in winning or this organization turning around, but you chose to trade them away. So I would, if I'm a fan, I would be concerned too, and I would be asking those questions too. Hopefully, when Borgonzi gets up on that podium tomorrow, no questions will be asked of him. But that should be one of the answers. Why are y'all choosing to trade away young players? What is it about it? Because these players that y'all got rid of, they've shown they were starters. They were key in what you were doing from a defensive standpoint, but you got rid of them. Why? It can't just be – you got to give more than an explanation they had Brian Callahan give. It has to be more than that.
So Easton Freeze of A to Z Sports tweeted – Titans GM Mike Borgonzi will speak to the media at 10 a.m. on Wednesday after the trade deadline is passed. I didn't realize it was that early in the morning. I thought it was in the afternoon. Then Easton Freeze says, full disclosure, we've been asking to speak with Mike Borgonzi for like a month, Brownlee trade, in parentheses. Titans PR began working last week to get us set up with him following the trade deadline because that's a good checkpoint. The timing of this announcement is entirely divorced from what they are going to do in the next roughly 22 hours. That was at 4:30 today.
Oh, so this has nothing to do with what they can potentially do as far as the trade.
Right, but it's important for the GM, who, in theory, is making the trades, to speak about the trades, especially a trade he made a month ago.
Yes.
To your point, it shouldn't take Mike Borgonzi a month to address a trade featuring a young player like Jarvis Brownlee. But, Mike, what's interesting is we criticized Rand Carthon for how how rarely he addressed reporters. Borgonzi is really doing the same thing. Now, here's the thing. I don't have the context of how often NFL GMs speak to reporters. I know that Jerry Jones talks all of the time because he's Jerry Jones. But, you know, we don't have the context. Like, in the NHL, for example, I don't know how many GMs do weekly sit-downs, like Barry Trotz does with us, which he will do tomorrow at 5 o'clock. I think we are spoiled by how often we talk to the GM of the local professional team. But we'll see what Mike Borgonzi says. We will probably have plenty to react to tomorrow. Well, actually, let's go here, Derek, as we're wrapping up today's show. How many trades do you think the Titans make tomorrow, over under 1.5?
Under.
You think they just make one or zero?
I think they make one.
Okay. And if you had to guess, which player gets traded tomorrow?
Oh, man. If I had a I think it would. I want to say Pollard.
Okay. Not man. Where I thought you would go with that. I'm leaning.
Ridley may be the guy.
That's interesting. Let's unpack that for a moment. I'm also leaning under, and I think it will be either Arden Key or Draymond Jones. One of them.
Draymond Jones is starting to play a little bit better now.
The stonks are rising.
You're right about that.
But you think it's going to be Pollard?
I think it'll be an offensive guy. Okay. I think it'll be Pollard. I think there's going to be a team out there today. They're looking at their running back situation. Because in the playoffs, you got to be able to run the football. You have to.
I thought the Chargers would be a fit last week when we did this.
May be a fit because he ran well against the Chargers ran him.
By the way, Joe Alt, season-ending surgery on his high ankle sprain. So the Chargers are down both of their starting tackles, Joe Alt and Rashawn Slater, which is bad news for the Chargers. Yeah.
So I can – Pollard would be the guy that I think they would pull – you know, sort of pull a lever on as far as trading. It's just there's something about having a running back, a consistent, valuable, reliable running back. And Pollard has been reliable. He's been available. And he still runs hard. There's a place for a guy like that on a team that believes they will get into the playoffs. It could be Kansas City. You just never know. You say, well, why can't City need him? Because they do. Because they want to win the Super Bowl. Well, they want to make – the way Kansas City looked last night versus Buffalo, they want to make sure that don't happen again. They want to make sure that they can run the football, lean on the run if they need to, slow the game down, and not have to lean on Patrick Mahomes all day. He's great. But I know they got backs there. But what's wrong with adding another back? To get, giving up a fifth or, you know, fifth, sixth-round pick, probably like a fifth. To get a back that you know is going to be available for you and still runs hard.
We will react to everything the Titans do at the NFL trade deadline tomorrow when we go on the air at 3 o'clock. Mike Borgonzi will address reporters in the morning. We will react to anything interesting that Borgonzi has to say. Trevor Maddich will join us tomorrow. Predators GM Barry Trotz will join us tomorrow. The Predators will be in Minnesota, so we will not have Barry face-to-face, but Barry will join us on the phone tomorrow at 5 o'clock. Predators versus Canucks coming up. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 6:30, right here on 102.5 The Game. We will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful day. I love you. The team love you. You hear that music? Don't you forget about it, because we will be back tomorrow at the same time, 3 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. Peace.